Chris McGreal's here in Cairo. Chris, can you tell me a bit about this diplomatic row between Ahmed, Egypt's foreign minister, and the White House?
Well, the Egyptian leadership is now pushing back against pressure for rapid political. The Americans have made clear that they will, although they're prepared to accept Mubarak remaining president for now, they want some things that will appease the pro-democracy demonstrators. They specifically said that they would like to see the oppressive 30-year emergency lifted, which is effectively used to and torture people without trial. That is a particular bête noire of the opposition, and Washington feels that it would be an important political gesture, much so that the U.S. Vice President Joe Biden called Mubarak, the former intelligence chief, earlier this week to tell him that they've got to get a move on and lift it. Now, Foreign Minister has given an interview on American television, PBS, essentially saying that he doesn't regard that legitimate, it's not helpful. His words, it's imposing American will on a great country, and it doesn't have the right to do that. This show of defiance by the Egyptians is a reflection of the fact that Suleiman leadership seems to think that they can brazen it out now. That may be because, as the Times of London reports this morning, the Saudi government offered to replace any of the massive military aid provides to Egypt if it's cut off, which would be important for the Egyptian leadership in keeping them happy if they decided essentially to break with the states in some way. The White House responded to this by Abu Khait by essentially saying that what the government has put forward so far doesn't, quote, meet the threshold for the people of Egypt. So definitely a diplomat here. I've spoken to Western diplomats who said to me that are to some degree feeling that they've thrown their weight behind Suleiman, Mubarak remaining for now, but they're not getting any results, and they feel that with the protests spreading, with strikes also now coming into play, that the situation could be even more decent.
Could you tell us a little bit about your story on the front page of the Guardian today about the Egyptian army's involvement in detention and torture?
Here, say that hundreds and possibly even thousands of people have been detained in the Egyptian military. Some of them have disappeared effectively into prisons. Nobody knows. They describe a whole array of people. Often, although some of them are demonstrators who have been taking part in protests in Tahrir Square, there are other people who've merely been stopped at army checkpoints and wires have been found in their backs, or they were detained by people that were maintaining roadblocks. And some of these people, by any means, but certainly some of them, have been quite severely tortured. The military, these people who have been arrested, and many of them haven't been released, but those who have been released give accounts of very severe beatings at the hands of the military, soldiers who question them about why they're in a position, whether they're working for a foreign country, Hamas or Israel or Kuwait, or some of the accusations. In some cases, they who've been arrested have even been subjected to electric shocks, their spies. How widespread this is difficult. Human Rights Watch has gathered 119 names of people who've been detained and some of those tortured. Birth groups say it's evidently much wider. They're being contacted by quite a lot of families who say those have disappeared in these circumstances. And anecdotal evidence from talking to people in Tahrir Square is that they know of people who've simply disappeared off the streets. And nobody seems to know where they are right now.
Okay, Chris, thanks very much for speaking to us, and keep in touch throughout the